Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, February 14th, 2019. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll start with an article on the first front page, headlined, Florists Feel the Love. Extra Staff, Stock on Hand for Biggest Day of the Year, by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Valentine's Day may only be one day a year, but local florists have been feeling the love since January. The busiest time of the year for most flower shops requires weeks of preparation, as flowers have long been a staple for the romantic holiday. In the Victorian era, flowers were used to communicate nonverbal messages, symbolizing fertility, love, marriage, and friendship, among other meanings. Although other gifts, such as chocolates, jewelry, and stuffed animals, have found their way into the hearts and hands of loved ones, flowers continue to be popular for Valentine's Day. Svensson Florist, 2702 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, has sold flowers to Decatur residents since 1946. Current owner, Johan Maple, has seen the growing stream of orders in recent weeks, starting in January, but the busiest time for the business began the week before the holiday. It increases as the time goes on, Maple said. All Svensson employees are scheduled to work during the holiday week, and any helpers we get, them too, Maple said. They're just being helpful to get the deliveries and arrangements made. Like many other flower shops, Secret Garden, 664 West El Dorado Street, experienced early requests for bouquets. Lori Barrett, co-owner, said the busiest time was the days preceding the holiday, and they are prepared. We double our staff, especially drivers, she said. Instead of one car, we use six vehicles to deliver the flowers. But for those who let Valentine's Day slip from the mind, local florists are prepared. Even if it is too late for delivery, most florists will be ready for last-minute shoppers with decorative and elaborate arrangements already made up. Along with flowers, many florists have extras to add to an arrangement. Chocolates, balloons, love pop cards, and arrangements are ready to go, said Sandy Johnson, owner of Wethington's Fresh Flowers and Gifts, 145 South Oakland Avenue. Anything to keep them out of the doghouse. How the flowers are delivered can be just as important as the flowers themselves. Zips Flowers by Gates, 518 East Prairie Street, have delivered flowers to restaurants and other locations, not just offices or homes, said owner Dawn Gates. During past Valentine's Day holidays, Zips has had celebrity delivery drivers, such as Illinois House of Representatives Republican candidate Dan Calkins. Gates said many of Calkins' assistants are returning to deliver again this year. People like to deliver flowers, Gates said. It's rewarding. For whatever reason, those who waited until Valentine's Day to shop for a gift have options. According to Barrett, red roses are still popular, but she recommends customers buy what their mates likes, such as a favorite color or flower. Be creative, she said. Maple recommends different Valentine's colors, such as pink, peach, or lavender. The same as the conversation heart colors, she said, referring to the classic candy. Bill Wand, owner of Horan's on the Corner Florists, 1106 West Pershing Road, made sure the staff is ready for the last-minute shoppers. Even on Valentine's Day, the cooler is full, he said. They also want to make the gift special for each customer. We'll have different containers, including red glass, Wand said. For some gift givers, adding details to something they already view as beautiful can be stressful. The stuffed animals, chocolate, and other whimsical extras are nice, but may not be necessary. Sometimes it's best to let the florist do their thing, Gates said. Florists take pride in their work, even for those in a hurry. We like the presentations, Johnson said, and we make sure when they leave, they're happy with it. Although Valentine's Day is a good reminder to show someone love and attention, some florists recommend picking another time of year. Flowers are more expensive during the romantic holiday. Barrett suggests buying flowers during off-peak times as well. Do a Just Because Day, she said. Contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983. Follow her on Twitter, at DonetteBHR. Illinois General Assembly, House to Vote on Wage Hike. GOP Businesses Voice Concerns, Passage Expected, by John O'Connor, Associated Press. Springfield. Setting up the legislation for an immediate floor vote and delivery to a receptive Governor J.B. Pritzker, an Illinois House committee approved a measure Wednesday that would hike the state's minimum wage to $15 within 6 years. The plan is being met with strong opposition from business groups. The Labor and Commerce Committee voted 19-10 along party lines to advance Representative Will Guzzardi's plan. It would bump the $8.25 an hour rate to $9.25 on January 1st. After moving to $10 on July 1st, 2020, it would increase $1 each January 1st until 2025. Anyone in this state who is working for that wage will tell you they're not being compensated fairly, Guzzardi, a Chicago Democrat, testified. They're being kept in poverty by being paid a wage that is less than the value of the dignity of the work that they put in every day. The Senate approved the legislation last week. Pritzker, a Democrat, made a $15 minimum a centerpiece of his successful campaign last fall. He has instructed Democrats who control the General Assembly to send him a bill he can sign into law before his February 20th address to unveil his budget proposal. House Speaker Michael Madigan, a Chicago Democrat, said the bill would be called for a vote today, and he expected the legislation to pass. Republicans said the fast-tracked advancement of the measure puts an end to a short-lived era of good feeling between the parties at the Capitol. This is a change of attitude since last month, Republican House Leader Jim Durkin said. There were all these platitudes and statements that were made about how we were going to work together and solve these problems. That is not the case today. Republicans have been shut out in negotiating in the House, and we have had no voice with the administration. Major business interests oppose the pace of the phase-in. They have pushed a tiered approach with lower hourly rates in regions outside Chicago that have lower costs of living. The Illinois Retail Merchants Association has suggested phasing in to a $15 base wage in Chicago, $13 in its suburbs, and $11 in the rest of the state. Small businesses across the state of Illinois are concerned that our local economies are being perceived as comparable to the bustling Chicago, Illinois, said Karen Kahn, whose family owns Central Illinois hospitality businesses. I live here, work here, play here, every single day, and I'm here to tell you that Springfield is nowhere comparable. Pritzker opposes regionalization. He said last week that it would be unfair for workers doing the same jobs in different cities to be paid different wages. The bill set for a vote today does not include those provisions. Illinois Municipal League also released a letter this week urging legislators to push back on a one-size-fits-all statewide approach. The organization is pushing for a wage increase that takes into account the significant economic differences communities face. We ask you, as a legislator representing our cities, towns, and villages, to recognize that while $15 per hour may be acceptable for some communities, it has a different and varying impact among regions throughout the state, the letter reads. The IML also states the increase would have a negative impact on employers and employees because of the differing economic states of the state's region. An increase to $15 per hour, even over a long period of time, could have a negative impact on many employers and employees in our communities because the dynamics in major metropolitan areas simply do not exist everywhere and cannot be relied on to blunt this added cost, the group said. According to a survey conducted last week by Central Illinois Regional Chamber Legislative Efforts, a collection of 14 local chambers of commerce, more than 91% of 424 surveyed reported concern about the impact the wage increase will have on their business. The top four effects business owners predict the increase will have on their business are a need to raise prices to cover costs, 68%, reduce hours for employees, 63%, slow down hiring for new positions and laying off employees, 48%. Another 14%, about 60 businesses, said they would have to consider closing due to the increase. Some larger employers have already beaten Illinois to the punch at raising employee wages. Amazon set its starting rate for U.S. workers at $15 per hour last year. In a tweet congratulating the Illinois Senate for passing the bill last week, the e-commerce giant noted that after they announced their wage increase, the number of new applicants for jobs with the company tripled. Target has raised its starting wage to $12 in 2018 and has indicated its plan to raise it to $15 by 2020. Walmart has raised its starting wage to $11. The Belleville News Democrat, State Journal Register, and Capital News Illinois contributed to this report. Suspect denies murder charges. Details of fatal restaurant shooting emerge in hearing. By Tony Reed. Decatur. Matthew A. Anderson, Jr. appeared in court Wednesday and pleaded not guilty to four counts of first-degree murder as new details emerged in the deadly shooting at a Decatur restaurant. Anderson, 20, was in Macon County Circuit Court and denied four counts of murder in the death of 18-year-old Curtis T. Hairston. The victim was shot to death the evening of January 4th in what was revealed during Wednesday's hearing as an exchange of gunfire triggered by Anderson at Long John Silver's restaurant, 701 West El Dorado Street. Anderson was shot and wounded in the January 4th incident and arrested by the U.S. Marshals Service on January 11th after he had been treated and was judged well enough to be discharged from a Springfield hospital. Outlining the case against Anderson, Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott went over details of the case with Decatur Police Detective James Neerum. The detective said Hairston, who had two guns with him, met at the restaurant with a 15-year-old juvenile and another man, 18-year-old Jaquarius L. West, to discuss a deal to trade firearms. Neerum said they had been in a restroom talking over terms, and West had then left the bathroom. And then a second individual immediately entered and began shooting without warning. And on video surveillance, was that individual shown to be the defendant, Anderson? Asked Scott. Yes, Neerum said. Evidence outlined in court showed there was an exchange of gunfire and two guns were recovered from the restaurant. Under questioning from defense attorney Thomas Bordenkircher, Neerum said the weapon witnesses claimed to have seen Anderson wielding was not recovered. Judge Phoebe Bowers ruled there was enough evidence to sustain the charges against Anderson, whose case was set for a pretrial hearing March 4th. He remained held in the Macon County Jail in lieu of $1 million bond. Of the other defendants involved, Jaquarius L. West, who also faces four counts of first-degree murder, has yet to enter a plea, and his case is scheduled for a preliminary hearing February 20th. He's also being held at the Macon County Jail in lieu of $1 million bond. The 15-year-old male juvenile faces charges of the aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and unlawful possession of a handgun. The state attorney's office said he pleaded guilty at a hearing January 24th and is due to be sentenced February 22nd. Contact Tony Reed at 217-421-7977. Follow him on Twitter at Tony J. Reed. Smooches from Pooches. Dog's Man Kissing Booth to Raise Funds for Humane Society. By Valerie Wells. Decatur. Barbara Gray's blue-eyed husky Crystal is a rescue, so she already has a soft spot for both dogs and rescues. When she stopped in to Northgate Pet Clinic on Wednesday for supplies for Crystal, she found furry friends Sig and Todd manning a kissing booth and raising money for the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County and Hudson's Halfway Home. The kissing booth will be open again 8 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. today. I can't be around a dog for more than a few minutes without spoiling him, Gray said, laughing as Todd kissed her. Holding the pit bull beagle mix's face in her hands, she said, I love you. You're so cute. Todd's human veterinary assistant, Angie Litz, said he, too, is a rescue. He was abandoned with his siblings at Macon County Animal Control and Care Center. I was in the market for a puppy, so I got him, Lit said, laughing in her turn at the very affectionate Todd, covered her face with kisses, his tail wagging madly all the while. Northgate employees put their heads together to come up with a fun event for Valentine's Day, and the kissing booth won the majority vote. Tori Leeper, clinical trials assistant coordinator, built the booth from a couple of crates and included a Peanuts-esque sign that says, "The dog is in," or out, depending on the situation. Her dog, Sig, a 2-year-old hound and lab mix who survived parvo, came from the Humane Society. He has a charming underbite, thanks to having had his incisors removed because they were damaging his lower gums, but that doesn't slow him down in the least. Sig is a little shy about having his head touched, but once he's had a chance to meet someone dog-style, a thorough sniffing, then he's more than willing to share kisses. Business at the booth was a bit slow on Wednesday afternoon, Leeper said, but they knew that was a possibility because it was during business hours when a lot of people are working. "We really just wanted to do something fun for Valentine's Day," Leeper said. "We don't usually do anything around the clinic, so we kind of took a vote, and this is one of the ideas we came up with." 2 plastic donation containers, one for each of the 2 rescues, sat on the kissing booth, and Gray, for example, couldn't decide which one to donate to, so she put money in both containers. She also got kisses from both dogs. Todd and Sig never met each other until Wednesday morning, but spent as much time as possible playing together all day. 2 different dogs will be in place on Thursday. All the dogs are owned by Northgate employees and known to be friendly to humans and other dogs. "Crystal would probably look really cute here," Gray said. "She's going to know I cheated on her. I could spend all day here." Contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982. Follow her on Twitter at ModGirlReporter. Walgreens employee accused of retail theft by Tony Reed, Decatur. A former Decatur Walgreens employee is accused of helping himself to cash out of the till and multiple gift cards together valued at more than $1,500. A sworn Decatur police affidavit said the 20-year-old man was picked up and arrested at 2:44 a.m. Tuesday and booked on a preliminary charge of retail theft. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. The thefts were described as dating back to multiple occasions in July at the Walgreens store at 420 West First Drive. Writing in the affidavit, Decatur Police Officer Philip Ganley said a Walgreens asset protection manager had detected the thefts and handed police a USB drive of video surveillance showing the employees stealing money from the register and stealing gift cards. Ganley said the man would remove money from the till and hide it in his pants, and he also stole 3 gift cards, loaded them with money, and concealed them in his pants as well. The man remained in the custody of the Macon County Jail Wednesday night in lieu of posting $5,000 bond. If he makes bail, he's ordered to stay away from all Walgreens branches. A manager answering the phone at the West First Drive store Wednesday afternoon said the business had no comment. Senate okays expansion of Lincoln Heritage Area by the State Journal Register, Springfield. 2 Lincoln Douglas debate sites and another county would be added to the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area in Illinois under legislation approved in the U.S. Senate on Tuesday, Lincoln's birthday. The existing National Heritage Area, created by Congress in 2008, promotes Lincoln heritage and preservation in 42 central Illinois counties, including high-profile Lincoln sites in Springfield and surrounding counties. The legislation approved Tuesday, included in a larger bill called the Natural Resources Management Act, would add Lincoln Douglas debate sites in the northern Illinois community of Freeport and the southern Illinois community of Jonesboro, as well as Livingston County at the northern edge of the existing heritage area. Supporters say the expansion will increase economic opportunities for Illinoisans working to preserve the historic sites and create new recreation, tourism, and educational projects. The measure was introduced by Illinois' 2 Democratic senators, Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin, U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger, Republican from Chanahan, has introduced companion legislation in the U.S. House. Expanding the Lincoln National Heritage Area will give future generations of Illinois residents and visitors the chance to learn about President Lincoln's lasting legacy in our great state, Durbin, a Springfield resident, said in a statement. This bill will also support Illinois communities and help grow the local economy by increasing access to federal grants for preservation and education. Briefs. Two-year-old's death being investigated. Decatur. The death of a two-year-old girl is being investigated by the Decatur Police Department, Sergeant David Pruitt confirmed Wednesday. Officers were sent to the residence on the city's east side on Monday morning, and the infant was found dead when they arrived at 7:48 a.m., a police report stated. An autopsy was performed Tuesday at the McLean County Morgue, Macon County Coroner Michael Day said. An investigation is normal protocol required any time there's death of a child or infant, he said. No further details about the investigation were available Wednesday morning, Pruitt said. Teen found with stolen car arrested. Decatur. A 16-year-old male was arrested Monday in connection to a motor vehicle theft, police said. The owner of a 2004 Chevy Impala reported his vehicle as missing, and the police were able to locate the car, Decatur Police Sergeant David Pruitt said. The 16-year-old was found with a vehicle on the city's southeast side. He was arrested and now faces a preliminary charge of motor vehicle theft, police said. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Pruitt advised owners to not leave their running cars unattended as they warm up on cold mornings. He also encouraged owners to lock their cars and keep spare keys elsewhere. Pokemon cards theft leads to arrest. Decatur. A 36-year-old Decatur man was arrested Tuesday for stealing 7 packages of Pokemon cards from the Walmart at 4625 East Maryland Street, police said. The man is facing preliminary charges of theft under $500, which is subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Separately, 2 other retail thefts were reported at the same store Tuesday, police said. The suspect for both of those thefts is thought to be the same woman. Fourth Judicial Circuit Associate Judge named. Vandalia. Jeffrey A. DeLong has been named an Associate Judge of the Fourth Judicial Circuit. Chief Judge Kimberly G. Coster said the circuit judges selected DeLong to replace Amanda Aid Harlow, who was elected resident circuit judge of Shelby County in November. Firefighters put out greenhouse blaze. Inspector, faulty power strip to blame. By Kennedy Nolan. Decatur. The Decatur Fire Department responded to a small greenhouse fire in the 100 block of Maureen Manor in the Wilder Haven East Mobile Home Park Tuesday night, keeping firefighters busy after 2 fires decimated 2 homes Monday night and Tuesday morning. Fire Inspector Mike Wigington said the Wilder Haven East call came into the department at 7:44 p.m. The homeowner tried to put out the blaze with a small extinguisher before calling the fire department to the mobile home park at Green Switch and East Mound Roads on the city's northeast side. It was a valiant effort on her part, Wigington said. The windy conditions thwarted the woman's effort, as she was not able to make a feasible pattern to put out the flames, Wigington said. The cause was an electrical fault in a power strip, he said, estimating the total loss at $2,300. The fire in the 500 block of West Wood Street Monday evening and the fire in the 800 block of West Decatur Street on Tuesday morning are both still being investigated, Wigington said. The home at the corner of West Wood and South Monroe Streets had been vacant for about a week prior to the Monday night fire there. The occupant was moving items out of the home throughout the week, and neighbors reported homeless people going inside the home during this time, Wigington said. Wigington said crews were at the residence on West Decatur Street until about 11:30 a.m. Tuesday. Fire Chief Jeff Abbott said Tuesday that from what he understood, an occupant on the second floor heard an argument on the front porch. He went downstairs to see what was going on, went back upstairs, and smelled smoke. He then looked outside and saw the porch on fire before escaping. Wigington said the department will hopefully be able to do an inside assessment of the homes Thursday. He also believes the timing of the fires was coincidence, and they are not related. No injuries were reported in either fire, and both structures were a complete loss. Contact Kennedy Nolan at 217-421-6985. Pop-up dinner to benefit maternity home. Chef-made meals to be served by appointment only on February 21st. By Jalen Cook. Decatur. Decatur Family Refuge will hold a fundraiser dinner Thursday, February 21st, at its Save the Children Maternity Home, 541 North Water Street. Alfred DeVera, the shelter's president, said dinner will begin at 5:30 p.m. and meals will be made by appointment only. Each meal will cost $30 per person and will be prepared by DeVera, a chef and adjunct culinary arts instructor at Richland Community College. Proceeds from the dinner will go toward the shelter, which plans to provide refuge for pregnant women 18 or older. The 10-bed shelter is not yet open, DeVera said, but will be soon. Whatever program for the shelter that we can put together as we open, all of the money will be used that way, DeVera said. The concept of the fundraiser is based on the idea of pop-up dinners, DeVera said, which is when a temporary restaurant is operated in a random or unexpected location. People who call DeVera to set up an appointment to eat during the event will be asked what protein they would like, such as chicken, beef, or pork, and he will create a dining menu for them based on their choices. Hors d'oeuvres and wine will also be provided during the event, DeVera said, and he'll cook the food inside of the attendees. The maternity home has a kitchen and a dining area for people to eat their meals, he said. To make an appointment for the dinner, DeVera said, contact him at 217-433-0217. Attendees should enter through the home's north side entrance. Contact Jalen Cook at 217-421-7980. Follow him on Twitter, at Jalen_HR. Federal funds to improve rail services. Illinois Capital News, Springfield. The Illinois Department of Transportation will receive $5,083,719 in federal funding to increase speeds and operational flexibility for passenger and freight rail services in Madison County, according to a news release from U.S. Democratic Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth. The funding is for the Lenox Interlocking Reconfiguration Project and comes from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Railroad Administration's Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant Program. The release said the project is estimated to reduce Amtrak trip times and freight train delays by more than 2 hours per day, which would also reduce gate downtime and a nearby grade crossing by 2 hours per day. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, February 14th, 2019. Please stay tuned.